I wonder this morning, if we just take a moment, how many moms we have here today? If you just slip up a hand. God bless you. God bless you. You know, I know it's a thankless job sometimes, but I want to say a very happy and special happy Mother's Day to each and every one of you. I wonder this morning, as we think about the title of mom, what kind of words come to your mind? How many of you have had a mother? Okay, good. So we all qualify. We don't have to get into the theological. All right, so we all kind of can participate in this. I wonder this morning, what kind of words come to your mind when we think of mom this morning? Just all over the place. Amazing. Patient. Self-sacrificing. Love. I haven't heard one guy say, well, I'm sorry, Brian, I heard you, yes. Guys, better step it up. Unconditional love. A friend. A taxi driver, yes.
A partner.
A partner.
Can I say overprotective?
Overprotective. A bank. Good. What else?
Fun.
Fun, yeah. A nurturer.
A counselor.
A counselor. It's getting deeper now. Wisdom. Doctor. I like that when they say you're a doctor, a cooker, your man thinks you're a looker, you're a mom. How many thought that that guy was going to get the pot over the head when he was trying to make some moves there, huh? How many recognize, well, forget it. let's get two more. Compassionate, yeah. What was the last one? Tired, yeah. I mean, and I hope moms today get a break. I know my honey will. She's going to be planting all day. That's what she likes to do. And so she's going to cut the grass. And that's what we do in our home. another word that comes to mind, I'm sure, and I think somebody said the word counselor before, is someone who is instructional. Because we always certainly learn some of the greatest of life's values from that special person who holds that very significant title in our life called mom. Guys, I hope that you truly appreciate that woman that is not only your wife, but your children's parents or parent, mom. And you know, if you don't now, I'm sure that as the ladies head off to the women's retreat next weekend and you are left alone with your little ones, you know, if you have not gotten your mom, your wife and I's Mother's Day gift, it's probably not too late to sign them up for that women's retreat. There's one more spot left over. But you know what? The reality of it is you're going to really come to realize, you know, what that kind of entails next weekend for those who are going to be left home being Mr. Mom. And don't get all spiritual next week and think we're going to have church at home and not bring them to church next week. And so if your wife is on the retreat next week, we expect to see you here and the kids all polished and looking clean and nourished and all that fun stuff. It's not easy. Have you heard about the latest reality TV show that's coming out? It's going to be really great. It's six married men will be dropped on an island with one car, and each one of them are going to be given six kids. Each kid plays two sports and either takes music or dance lessons, and there is no access whatsoever to fast food restaurants. Each man must take care of his six kids, keep his assigned house clean. He must correct all homework, complete science projects. He must shop, cook, do laundry, run errands, feed and take care of the assorted pets, carpool, do volunteer work, juggle the household budget, get kids to the doctor, dentist, orthodontal appointments on time. He must purchase, wrap all birthday, anniversary, holiday gifts. He must maintain all appliances and car in perfect working condition. The men only have access to one television when the kids, and that is when the kids are asleep. All chores are done, and they are ready to finally collapse. There's only one TV between them, and you guessed it, there's no remote control whatsoever. The men must look attractive and keep fit at all times. They must shave their armpits and legs. They must have their hair clean and styled and wear makeup daily which they must apply themselves either while driving or while making lunches for the children. They must always have something interesting to say and attend weekly PTA meetings and all other school functions, of which they must bake for those as well. They must clean up after their sick children at 3 o'clock a.m. or p.m. They must make an Indian hut model with six toothpicks, a stale tortilla, and one dried-out magic marker, plus get a four-year-old to eat at least one serving of greens every single day. And I love this. It's the kids who get to vote them off the island based on their performance. The last man wins only if he has enough energy, yeah, you guessed it, to be intimate with his spouse without whining and, of course, at a moment's notice. That's right. If the last man does win, he can play the game over and over again for the next 18 to 25 years, eventually earning the right to be called mother. And one more thing, they cannot kill themselves or the children, otherwise they get voted off the island immediately. Seriously, though, there is nothing more impacting in a life than the life of a mother. It was Sir Winston Churchill who said, if we want to change our nation, let's begin by enlisting mothers. President Theodore Roosevelt, who said, when it's all said, it is the mother and the mother only who is a better citizen than the soldier who fights for his country. The successful mother, the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright the boys and girls who are to be the men and women of the next generation. It is that one who is of greater use to the community, and she occupies, if she would realize it, a more honorable as well as important position than any man in it. Roosevelt went on to say, the mother is the one supreme asset of the national life. She is more important by far than the successful statesman or businessman or artist or scientist. The scripture also reminds us that it is appropriate to give honor to whom honor is due. How many know this morning it is appropriate to give honor to our moms? The Apostle Paul tells us that in Romans chapter 13, to give honor to whom honor is due. Jesus, quoting the fifth commandment in the book of Matthew, commands us to show honor to our mother and our father. And so today, moms all over, we give you honor today. We say thank you for a job well done. This morning, I want us to walk in on a conversation that takes place between Jesus and a mom. It's a great story. We took a look at it a couple of weeks ago, but this morning we're going to take a look at it a little bit differently, this time from the direction or the angle of a mom, from the perspective of a mom. So if you have your Bibles with you, let's turn together to the book of Matthew, chapter 20. I don't have a long message for you this morning. We're going to take a look at this and see what we can learn from it and dismiss you early so you can take your honey out for a nice lunch or whatever you want to do. Let them get right to work. Matthew chapter 20. I'm in trouble later. It's going to be a long message today. We're going to be all day. Matthew chapter 20, looking at verse 20. It says, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And Jesus said to her, hey, what is it that you wish? And she said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left hand in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what it is that you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And this is where the guys chimed in that we looked at last week or a couple weeks ago where they said, yeah, we're able to do that. And so he says to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. And we spent some time looking at that a couple of weeks ago as we were in that series. But it's interesting, look who it was who brought them over to Jesus. It was the mother. It was the mother who saw in her boys the potential for greatness. And Jesus, seeing the heart of this mother and knowing the heart of this mother, says to her, "What is it that I can do for you?" And she says, "Jesus, small task, nothing major here. Just let them sit one on your right hand and one on your left when you come into your kingdom." And there's a couple of principles that we see in this story that I think is really great for us to kind of pull out of, many of which we see our moms and our wives exhibit in our daily, on a daily basis, as well as many of which we have seen in our moms from yesteryear, that I pray has influenced us and helped us to become the people that we are today. And so we're going to take a look at three things about this mom this morning that I think would be very encouraging and enlightening to us. The first thing that we see, this first character trait that we see in this mom, is total selflessness. Total selflessness. The first thing we see in the heart of this mother, that something that is consistent with the heart of every mom, is Jesus says to her, "What is it that you wish?" Notice she doesn't ask for anything for herself. You said total self-sacrificing our moms are. "What is it that you wish?" She doesn't ask for something for herself, but instead she said, "Take care of my sons. Take care of my boys. Bring them to a place of honor." And you know, we have to remember something. This mother knew just who it was that she was speaking to. I'm sure she heard the stories as these guys had come home and said, "Oh, Mom, you wouldn't believe what happened today. As we've been following this man from Galilee, this Jesus is not just some ordinary prophet or ordinary rabbi. This guy does incredible things. Jesus is like unbelievable, Mom." I'm sure they told her about the time that he raised Lazarus from the dead. I'm sure she knew about Jesus walking on the water or feeding the 5,000. I'm sure that they told her about the time that Jesus made the deaf to hear and the blind to see and the lame were walking. And I'm sure they went home and shared with their mom, as we all have done in the past, right? The first thing, something big happens, "Mom, you wouldn't believe what happened." And I'm sure as soon as they went, they made the beeline right past their father, right to their mother, and said, "Mom, guess what happened? Listen to what Jesus did." And I'm sure this mom knew who it was who said to her, "What is it that I can do for you?" Sky's the limit. That's better than rubbing the bottle and getting the genie come out. "You got the God of the universe. What can I do for you?" And this woman, this selfless mother, her response is not for herself, but it's for her boys. "What do you wish? What is it that I can do for you?" Her reply is selfless. Her reply is not her own needs, not her own wants. It had everything to do for her children. It was a selfless act. I'm sure if we took a moment this morning, we can all give examples of those times that our moms went over and above the call of duty. Whatever that call of duty may be, usually it's at the expense of themselves, isn't it? Those times they demonstrated absolute selflessness so that we would be comfortable, so that we would be taken care of, so that we would have our needs met. I'm sure if you go through the history of your life, you can pinpoint those times in which your mom really stepped it up. Unfortunately, most of those times we don't realize it until we're older ourselves and realize the absolute selflessness that it takes to be a mom. "What is it that you wish? Take care of my boys. Make sure they're taken care of. Let them come to positions of greatness in your kingdom." So to all those moms who instilled selflessness. Now, I know if you're a mom here today, you're thinking, "You know, I don't do that enough." None of us do. Don't beat yourself up and saying, "Wait a second, you know what? I'm not always like that." No, we're a work in process, right? But there's so many times that we could look back and see time after time, those moms that just gave of themselves. What an example it is to us. What an example of Christ it really is to us, isn't it? The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. And we see that same character trait in our moms. Secondly, we see that this mom instilled a godly expectation in her children. She instilled a godly expectations. If a child is a mom that expects nothing, yeah, she'll get exactly what she expects, nothing. If you expect failing grades, you will get failing grades. If you expect disrespect, that's exactly what you're going to get, is disrespect. However, the opposite is true as well. If you raise the bar to greatness, you will have children who never settle for second best. What is it that you want, mother? Let them sit one on your right hand and one on the left. And I'm sure, you know, I don't want to read too much into the text, but I could see these guys going, yeah, you know what? Mom thinks we can do it. We must be able to do it. If we read that passage a little bit longer, you see that it was in their hearts. Mom, if that child knows that you believe in them, if that one knows that you're in their corner, regardless of how old they are, how many know mothering doesn't stop the day they walk out of the house, right? You're always a mom. You're always giving input. You're always giving advice, sometimes too much. Not in my case. I'm just saying, is generically speaking, mom. But you never stop being a mother. And I want you to know, as your sons and as your daughters, we never stop needing your advice. Because as we continue to grow and you continue to grow, you're continuing to learn. Is there any mom that once the child walked out the door stopped learning about life? No. You're constantly growing. You're constantly learning. You're constantly growing in God, hopefully, right? And so that's something that nowhere in the scripture do I see where we are to stop investing into the lives of our children. Raise the bar to greatness in your child's life so that they'll know that through Christ they can do all things. Don't push them towards the ordinary. Challenge them to greatness and believe in them until they get there. That's what the mom did in our story today. What is it that you want? She wasn't holding back, right? Like, you know what, this might be the only time Jesus says to me, what can I do for you? She wasn't going to settle for the ordinary. She knew who it was that was asking a question. Lord, put my boys into a position of greatness. Let them stand head and shoulders above the rest. You say, oh, that's very prideful. She's a mom. She can get away with that with her kids. Mom, don't you have the best kid in the world? Yeah. Yeah, mom. That's not prideful. That's a healthy kind of a pride. Raise the bar to greatness in our kids. Let them sit, Jesus, one on your right hand and one on the left when you get into your kingdom. Obviously, she didn't fully understand what it was. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there and kind of seen the look on Jesus' face? Now, we know Jesus knew all things, and you know, nobody needed to really speak around Jesus because Jesus knew what was in their heart, right? And so this woman comes, and Jesus knew what and he says, what do you want? It's kind of like he knew what she was going to say. Those kinds of things fry my brain a little bit. But he asks anyway, what is it that I can do for you? And she says, let one sit on your right and one on your left when you come into your kingdom. And you can see Jesus going, oh, I was really hoping I could meet that request, but that ain't going to happen. She doesn't understand what it is that she's asking. But Jesus knew the heart of a mom. For a mom, no place is too high for her offspring. No position is too great for their children. No honor is too great to bestow on the fruit of her womb. Let them be great in your kingdom. First, we see that she was totally selfless. Secondly, we see that she instilled in them a godly expectation. There was something in her that was passed on to them that made them stand right alongside her as she said, let them be great in your kingdom. Remember, they continued to follow Jesus after that. She instilled a godly expectation in these little ones. The last thing I want to point out in this story is that their mom's desire was not that they would be rich. He owns a cattle on a thousand hill, the scripture says. Her desire for them was not that they would be rich, not that they would have notoriety and prestige among men. But she instilled this final and third point into the lives of their children as she responded to Jesus when he said, "What is it that you want?" Oh, that they would be great in the eyes of God, is really what she was saying. It wasn't just let them sit at your right hand and on your left, but oh, that they would be great in the eyes of God. That was the heart of this mom. That their children, her children would be great. Ultimately, the desire of this mom was that they would be great in the eyes of God. Mom, what do you hope for your children? Oh, we all want them to be healthy. We all want them to be happy. We all want them to be good moral citizens that make a positive influence in the lives of those around them in the communities in which we live. We want them to be well-liked and well-respected. We want them to be good citizens and compassionate people. I think we all desire for our kids to do that, to be model citizens, men and women of integrity. But the greatest thing that you can instill in the life of that one that God has allowed you to raise is a man or woman who has a relationship with his or her creator. That they would have character in God. That's ultimately the purpose of a parent. That's ultimately the role and the responsibility that we have as parents to instill in our children. Because what ends up happening in the beginning years, right? What are they doing? They're looking up at you. And they're thinking you're great and you're awesome. And they're thinking you can do anything. I feel like getting cold too. And they're thinking you can do anything. And then they start to get older and they realize you're not perfect. And hopefully by that time, what we've been teaching them is, listen, Daddy loves you, Mommy loves you, but you know what? We're not perfect, but let me point you to somebody who is perfect. And all of our lives and all of that raising time, we're pointing them to one who will always be with them, who will always walk with them. And so the great challenge that we have as moms and dads is to take that little life that has been looking at us, and in time, as time goes by, point them to the one who will never disappoint them, who is flawless, who has a plan and a purpose for their lives. Have no greater desire for your child, young or old, but that they would have character in God. They might not be the richest people in the world, maybe they will, but who cares? It's going to pass. Oh, that they would have character in God. Maybe they'll be the CEO of a company, maybe they won't. It doesn't matter as long as they have character in God. That long before they seek the approval of men, that they would seek the approval of God first. For when that is instilled into the life of a person, yeah, let me tell you, if your child is older, it's not too late. It's not too late. Let me just kind of share for a moment. We, you know, our family didn't become Christians until we were, I was 12 years old. My brother was 15 years old, and my younger ones were 9 years old. You know, and my parents weren't raised in a Christian home where they were taught biblical principles. And you know what? They honored God, made mistakes along the way, but never any mistake that truly affected us negatively, because my parents always looked at the cross, always pointed us to Jesus. I can honestly say, and I do this for them today as well, but also just to raise an example. There's never been a point in my parents' life that I could look back and saw a point where they faltered in their walk with Christ. There was not one point where they questioned or stopped growing or said, we're throwing in the towel on church or God or nothing. Just a consistent godly walk, godly influence. And I thank God for that. It's never too late because they're still instill into my life and help me to grow. And so if you're here today and your kids are older or even out of the house, don't think for 1 minute it's too late. And you know what? When the grandkids come, then you get to really instill these godly characteristics into them. You get to get to spoil them and send them on their way. It's a wonderful thing. But that they would have character in God. Because in the end of the day, that's what matters most. That's what matters most. Teach them to prioritize the house of God. Teach them to prioritize the kingdom of God. And the best way to teach them that is to model it yourself. To model it yourself. If you don't prioritize their need for spiritual growth, when do you think they're going to actually come to the reality or the conclusion that they need to grow spiritually? They won't. It's our responsibility. Mom, it's our responsibility to prioritize the kingdom of God, the house of God. What are the priorities in your home? Hey, I've got 4 boys. One of them was supposed to be at the baseball game today. Not happening. Why? Because our kids need to know that the house of God is a priority. Can I tell you, just go off my notes for a second, and we are losing a generation today of kids that don't want to be involved in church. We're losing a generation today of kids who don't feel like they want to make that transition into their own Christianity. They've been kind of watching their parents' Christianity long enough. What are they going to see in our lives that is going to whet their appetite for a walk with God, that'll change the generation that's around them? Mom and Dad, if you don't prioritize the house of God, I'm not just saying going to church, but I am saying not forsaking yourselves. As the scripture says, from the assembling of one another. If you're choosing sports over youth group, you're choosing other things over extracurricular activities, you are making a grave mistake, Mom and Dad. One that, listen, little Johnny is not going to be a professional baseball player. Statistically speaking, if he is, God bless him, great. But I'd rather teach my kids that going to church and being there on time is more important than getting to that ball game on time. And if we don't give them, create an environment where our young ones can start seeing godly examples, and they're not going to see the godly examples until we bring them. Oh, that they'd find their heroes in the church. That they'd find their role models in the church. That they'd find people that they could look, that they'd find grandmas and grandpas in the church. Aunts and uncles in the church. That when our kids walk into this place, they could feel like, I belong. I belong. Not just because of who my parents are, but because I belong. But Mom and Dad, if you don't instill that into them at an early age, remember the words of this pastor, you will regret it. If you don't instill it now, you will fight them to come to church when they're teenagers, and you will lose them later on. Don't give in to the pressure of making sure they just have fun. There's time for that. But they need to be a part of the family of God. I've said it to you so many times. God gives us one another. There's no superstars in the kingdom of God. And no one person possesses everything. Listen, Mom and Dad, you do not have everything your child needs. God gives them you, but he also gives them the family of God. And if you don't prioritize that, you will regret it. Instill a godly character in our children. This mom was incredible. She gets a bum rap sometimes. And I listen to a lot of people talk about this and like she's some selfish. But you know what? No, she's selfless. She's selfless in her request to make sure her boys are taken care of. We see that she raises a godly expectation. Son, you can do it. You can sit at the right hand of God. She doesn't know. She's a mom. She's allowed that. And she instills godly expectations. Oh, that we would instill godly expectations on our children. And so for those moms who make us secure knowing that you're forever in our corner, thank you. For those moms who spend untold and unseen hours making sure those little boys are taken care of at the expense of yourself so many times, thank you. We are forever in your debt. The writer of Proverbs say that for the godly mother, their child and their husband will rise up and call them blessed. Blessed are you. Can I also just say real quick, moms, you need each other. You need each other. I still haven't seen that manual that was handed off to my wife and I when my child was born. We need each other. And you know, moms, not that I am one, but you know what? You need each other. You need to draw off of the strengths and experiences and weaknesses and help each other to be the kind of godly mom and godly woman that God can make you to be. Hey, we've got one chance to raise these kids up. I said to my wife the other day, my son Joshua, we've had him longer than we're going to have him. He's halfway out the door. Oh, kills me. Right? Another 8 years, he's off to college. It changes after that, I'm told. Maybe, hopefully, he's not with me until I'm 30. He's 30, but we got one chance at this thing. And you don't have everything you need to do it. And so God gives you his word. And ladies, he gives you one another. Some of you ladies who you've raised your children up already, you need to help in speaking to the lives of these younger moms. That's what Titus says, that the young older women would train and teach the younger. How many of you moms have ever made a mistake? Don't you want to spare somebody from making a mistake? Invest in one another. What do we call that? That's called the community of Christ. That's all it is. A bunch of nobodies who got a hold of somebody that changed our lives and put us all together and creates a community where we could learn from one another, draw off one another, enjoy one another, spare each other from some heartache, and bear one another's burdens and cry with one another and go through this thing called life together. So that one day when it's all said and done, we'll be able to look back and say, I did everything I possibly could before God to instill into this little one what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Don't forfeit that opportunity. Ladies, when Mosaic takes place, that's a great avenue. I'll just give a little plug for that. There shouldn't be one woman not going to that. It's not just about like what's going on this week, let's see if I like it. No, because around the topic, relationships are being built up. And you might find somebody who's kind of like in the same pattern of life or has been in the same experiences of life that you have that God might put into their life to help you to grow. Same thing with our men. I'm going to touch on you guys in a couple of weeks because you guys have not been coming to Transformers and you're going to get some. But ladies, we need one another. Men, we need one another. God gives us each other to learn from each other, help each other grow, bear one another's burdens, and be the church of Jesus Christ. And they, Scripture says, will know we are Christians by the love that we have for one another. Father, I thank you for every mom in this place, young and old, experienced and inexperienced. I pray your blessing on them. I pray, Father, that you just continue to give them the wisdom that they need as they seek to model to their young ones and older ones alike what it means to be selfless, what it means to have a godly expectation, what it means to instill godly characteristics. Lord, life can get so busy sometimes and so overwhelming. And Lord, I think of our single moms that are struggling and doing the best they can. And I pray, God, you just bless them today. Give them the strength and the wisdom and the guidance that they need in these days to raise young men and young women of character. And God, I pray you'd put a conviction on the heart of every older mom in this place to find one younger woman to befriend, to mother, to encourage, to stand with, to cry with, to walk with, to invest in. That we would be the body of Christ. Members of one another, as the scripture says. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We give you thanks because as much as we're thankful for our moms, we're thankful that you gave them to us. All things come from you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.